of everybody here this afternoon, I'm in the position of probably being the one that knows Eric the least well. But however little I knew of Eric, one thing above everything else was hugely evident. And this was his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going to visit him in the hospital on the Wednesday afternoon and was able to just spend a short time with him. And as the family would be aware at that time, there was times when he was drifting in and out of consciousness, and there were times when he'd be sleeping, and there'd be times when we could have a few words with him. But it was on that occasion, as I was speaking, that he was a little bit more awake than he had been. And I'd been reading some of the Psalms, and I'd been praying. And then we were speaking about his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I said the word Jesus to him, he would say, "He is everything." Or, "He is everything." And here was a man nearing the end of his long life. And these were the last words that I heard come from his lips, that Jesus was everything to him. I want to show to you this afternoon why the Lord Jesus Christ was everything to Eric. And it is found in the book of Psalms again, into Psalm 121, that I want to draw your attention. I'm going to read these words. These are favorites of Eric. And let us hear again the word of God. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore." I am told that when Eric and Joan moved from Bristol down to Urchfont, that Eric used to love walking up the hill outside of his property. And this particular psalm was very precious to him. As he'd walk up the hill, he'd often be heard reciting these words, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill." And in this Psalm 121, we have the great testimony of the psalmist concerning his God, where his confidence was and where his faith was. But this wasn't just the experience of David or whoever wrote this psalm, this was the experience of Eric as well. And I want to draw out four things this afternoon. This psalm speaks of need. Secondly, the psalm speaks of help. Thirdly, it speaks of being kept. And finally, it speaks of security and great blessing. Throughout this psalm, we have the child of God referring to the fact that their help comes from God. And if we're requiring help of any kind, there is of necessity a need. If we don't have a need, then we will have no interest in seeking help. That is quite a logical statement to make. But every human being that has ever lived, or that ever will live, each one of us has a great need. And you may say, "Well, I have got a lot of needs. I have a lot of sickness. I have a lot of money problems. I have this need. I have that need." Well, we do have a number of needs. But dear friends, each one of us has a need that is most severe. It is most serious. It is that we are sinners in the sight of God. Each one of us have broken God's commands. Each one of us stand guilty before God. Now, people don't like to talk about sin today. They say, "Well, let's ignore it. Let's just brush it under the carpet." People may say that I'm okay. It's all right. I don't need to worry about these things. But the word of God, which you have heard this afternoon, that has been shared with you, Eric believed from beginning to end, from the first word to the very last word, it tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is our condition that we are in. That is the need that we have. One sin renders us guilty before God. But dear friends, we haven't just committed one sin. We have sinned over and over and over again. And as a consequence of that, we stand condemned by God. God, who is holy, perfect, pure, he is described as being the judge of all the earth that will do right. And unless this need is addressed, it has everlasting consequences. Eternal punishment in that place called hell. In September 1950, Eric realized his need. Before God, he was a sinner. Before God, he was guilty. Before the perfect justice of God, he stood condemned. But we come here to remember that he didn't just have a need, he had a need that was dealt with. And so this psalm speaks of a help. You may be sat here saying, well, I feel sad already. Why should I be made even more miserable? Why should I be made more uncomfortable when you speak about sin, death, and hell? Well, the Christian gospel, which means good news, shows us the great remedy of God. We have a need. It is a most serious, it is an eternal need, and it has most grotesque consequences if it is not dealt with. Yet, in the word of God, it is shown to us that there is help to the sinner. Verse 2, the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord. My help cometh from the Lord. We have a need before God. And here is that wonderful news, that there is help from God. People throughout history, when confronted with their sin and their need before God, have tried in vain to remedy it themselves. They will try and please, or perhaps even appease God. They will try to earn God's favor by what they do through their good works. Whilst good works are a good thing, and we thank God for those that help and those that support, in and of themselves, they can never deal with our sin before God. People think that if they do some good, at the end of time, my good will somehow outweigh my bad. Well, the Bible clearly shows us that it's not by works that we can be saved. It is by the grace of God. It is by the mercy of the Lord. It is coming from God himself. And so when it comes to salvation and when it comes to being right with God, it is certainly not because of who we are or what we have done. But as Eric could testify, my help cometh from the Lord. And so coming back to this psalm, we see that the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. This is the help that we need. This is the help that saves, and it comes from God himself. Now just stop and think for a moment. Here we are, we've broken God's commands, we've rebelled against God, we have done all kinds of wickedness against him, yet it is God who provides this remedy. It is God that provides this rescue plan. God is the one that helps. And how has he done this? Well, he gives us his Son. As you have heard already this afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fully God and fully man, comes into this earth. He lives a perfect life. He goes to the cross. He suffers all that our sin determines. All that God's wrath must come to us because of our sin, and he is that worthy substitute and that worthy sacrifice. This is the help that comes from God. There's an old hymn in one of its verses. It has these lines. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us whole. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. This help comes from God. And as it comes from God, we can have confidence that it fully meets and fully deals with the needs that we have. When we think about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for sinners, people may say that my sins are too many. They're too terrible. Surely not for me. but he is the able Saviour. He is a Saviour that saves to the uttermost. Others may say, well, he wouldn't save me. He wouldn't be willing to save me. He is also the willing Saviour. All that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. In another place, whosoever believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in another place, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There are no ifs and maybes with Christ. He is willing. He is able to save. The question comes to us, have we been to him for that salvation like Eric had done back in September 1950? Have we, like Eric, repented and turned from our sin, trusting only in what Jesus Christ has done? Eric did this, and he could testify, my help cometh from the Lord. Where does your help come from? What are you trusting in this afternoon? It's a sad fact, it's a sad reality that before very long, perhaps a few years for some, perhaps a lot longer for others, perhaps even next week for others, we may be at a service remembering our life. What hope, what help do we have? No other help will do. No other help will work save that which comes from God himself. And Eric's evaluation of the help that he received of Jesus Christ was this. He is everything. His help from the Lord was everything. But this psalm speaks of need. It speaks of help. But it also speaks of being kept. When we think about the help that comes from God, it is a help which preserves all through life. This is not a one-off help, but a help which keeps and protects all through life and into the life that is to come. In verses 3 to 8, we have the psalmist there describing how God has kept. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And he goes on. God is with his people. God keeps his people all through their life. The soul that is entrusted to God can come to no harm. There may be sickness and trials in life. The body may experience great hardships. But the soul that is saved eternally. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking about his people, he would say, none shall pluck them out of my hand. The Apostle Paul, speaking in a similar vein, he would say concerning the great love of God, he would say that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Christian knows that help all through life. They know that sustaining and that preserving. And this is a great comfort to God's people, that the Lord is with them every step of the way. The Lord never abandons his people, but keeps and protects. Eric knew this, and even when his earthly journey was coming to an end, he could say, the Lord is everything. You say, well, even when you're going through the valley that you're going through, even though it's so hard and so difficult, perhaps even painful, the Lord is everything. The Lord is the one that helped. He knew the help of the Lord. He knew his Lord had kept him, but he knew his Lord would keep him all through this life and safe into eternity. He knew that sustaining and that keeping of God. When you go home and you're on your own this afternoon and this evening, and perhaps in the days ahead, just go through your order of service again. Read through those hymns, because those hymns speak of the testimony of a Christian. They speak of what it means to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Eric found to be true in his life and in his heart. You may wonder why Joan is as strong as she is. She says, her testimony is this. Well, the Lord is with her. The Lord is by her side. The Lord is keeping her. She knows that God is with her every step of the way. the one who doesn't slumber nor sleep, the one who watches over her going out and her coming in. She knows her Lord to be by her side. To those that mourn the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one that can give you comfort and peace. Look to him. He never disappoints. If you are a Christian, then take comfort in your God and keep looking to him. Keep drawing upon him, remembering that he is by your side. What we find in the fourth place, and with this I close, this psalm speaks of security and blessing. The Christian, because of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, knows that although this earthly life will come to an end, but at death they will go to be their Lord in heaven forever. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In John 14, Jesus would say that he was going to prepare mansions for his people in his Father's house. For the Christian at death, they go to be with their Savior. He died on the cross, but was raised again at the resurrection. And because of this, there is that guarantee of everlasting and eternal life. In our last verse of Psalm 121, we have these words: "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." This preserving is forever, not just for this life, but the Lord is with his people in the life to come, safe and secure in him. When we consider heaven, it is a place of wonderful blessing, a place of no more sin, no more suffering, no more pain, no more separation, no more trouble, no more unease. Above all, it is with God. It is with Christ. The Christian's great expectation is this, that they will not only be with their Savior, but they shall be like him. And heaven is a place forevermore. What a contrast to what we deserve. What a contrast to what our sin should demand. Banishment from God, eternal suffering, but yet there is help in the gospel. Oh, we miss Eric. You miss Eric. But he is with his Savior, the one that is everything to him. The one from whom all his help came. The one he trusted in. The one who kept him, and the one who has eternally blessed him. The Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews, "How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation?" With such a great salvation displayed in God's word, with such good news to sinners, what is the consequence if we ignore or reject God's plan of salvation? Oh, we shall not escape that wrath and that punishment of God. The Bible says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Like Eric did back in 1950, turn to the Lord. He will not disappoint in this life, nor in the life to come. And can you say with Eric and with the psalmist here, "My help cometh from the Lord"? May the Lord help us, each one, to have that testimony. Amen.